Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. This is Reba Hass of Team Reba RE/MAX Metro East Side.
And this is Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
Yes, and for our listeners, we have with us Mike Spence from Helsel Fetterman Law Offices. And we're sitting here talking about waterfront property law and issues around it.
Welcome back, Mike.
Yeah. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, Mike, let's say I own a waterfront home and I want to knock it down and build a new home. What? I'm going to need to hire you, aren't I?
Probably.
Okay. tell me
why. Why is that? Why is that?
Yeah. That's because the rules of redeveloping a waterfront property are also pretty complicated. Every city in the state that has waterfront property has a special zoning code called the Shoreline Master Program, and it's overseen by the state. And the state has directed that the cities and counties update these programs, and update means make them more and more restrictive. And it's happening. That's the nature of things. And there's a schedule that the state has issued. Every 5 years or so, the cities are doing this. Certain cities do it this year. Other cities are doing it next year. You can go to the Department of Ecology's website, I think, and they will show you what that updating schedule is. Actually, I have it in my class there. It's too much to read on the radio, though. But the cities are being very aggressive. For example, I live on Bainbridge Island. And one of the things that Bainbridge Island did was they declared all waterfront property to be legally nonconforming.
Yes.
When something's nonconforming, that means if it's abandoned or destroyed, you usually have just a short amount of time to rebuild it. And if you don't, forget it.
It's gone.
Correct. Also, the laws say that you can't expand a nonconforming use.
Right.
And Wait a minute. So, like, if your house burns down and you don't rebuild, like, if you're fighting with your insurance company or something about it, and you don't build soon enough, you could maybe be told you can't?
You will get stuck with current zoning. So, you know.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You would have to rebuild in conformance with whatever the current zoning is.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay.
Well, I know, Mike. I live in the Burien area, kind of down by Three Tree Point, and I've sat in on the City of Burien Shoreline Master Program meetings about 2 years ago. And basically what they did is exactly what you're describing. They imposed a new setback rule, and the setback rule was 150 feet. So if you're building something new, you have to be 150 feet back from the shoreline. Well, what if your lot's only 100 feet deep?
Right. That's the type of fight you could get into. Now, and then this isn't the most exciting stuff in the world, but
we love this kind of stuff on
this
show.
They can't take away your right to use the property. So if the property's got residential zoning and they increase the setbacks to more than the lot width is, you can still build something. But you're going to need to hire me and, you know, several of my assistants, I think, to get through that part of the process, because it's going to be a fight. The goal might be laudable. They're trying to, you know, protect the water quality and the environment and all that stuff. But it's pretty tough on someone wanting to build a waterfront property.
Right. There's still
lots of people trying to do that.
That's right.
Well, and so what about, I know the other issue might be bulkheads. Is that an area that you get into as well?
Absolutely. Just working on one. As soon as I'm done here, I'm going back to the office to work on a bulkhead issue. Yeah. And bulkheads are also sort of complicated as well.
Aren't they trying to get rid of bulkheads as much as possible?
Well,
and go to like more natural
bulkheads. Yeah, the local regulators feel like bulkheads aren't very good for fish habitat, and you know there's some evidence to support that. But right now the law says you can build a bulkhead to protect a single family residence, and that's exempt from this Shoreline Master Management Act I was talking about. You're still going to have to comply with environmental regulations, and you know those vary city by city. Long story short, you can do it, but again, it's fairly complicated. I'm representing a diking district up in Island County right now. The dike failed, big storm last year. They just wanted to replace what was destroyed in the storm, and they got permits from the state, and the county said no. We're in a big fight with the county right now. We think they're going to come to understand it our way. The law says you can make emergency repairs of a dike that's been damaged. But, you know, question, what is an emergency repair? And you can get into little fights over what's an emergency.
So you're even getting, like, intergovernmental fights going.
Absolutely.
You're saying county versus state.
Yeah, the state, in this Whidbey Island case, the state approved it right away, and the county said no. So, unfortunately, we had to sue the county. And then they changed their mind, sort of. And then they changed it back. And
for crying out loud.
Yes, indecision may or may not be a problem.
My goodness.
May or may not. I love that. That's a perfect way to put it. Okay.
So you know, and all the issues that come up with waterfront. So you have you have your bulkheads, you have your setback requirements, you
and
have
docks.
You have okay. Get me started on this. Is it possible to build a new dock on salt water?
Yes.
It is?
It is. It is. But again, you know, you'll need me and three or four of my assistants to help out. Yeah.
To get that going.
That's correct. The law says you can build a recreational, private recreational dock.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exempt from this state Shoreline Management Act. But locally, they're going to make it very difficult. Docks are also seen as harmful to salmon because they create shadows, and the predators to the salmon hide under the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
So there are design issues with the dock. You'll be required to have it, you know, show light through it. It'll have to be, translucent to some degree.
Well, that's the part that, if they're going to have a rule like that on a dock, they should have the same rule on a tree that falls in the water. You know, because that also creates shadows.
Those darned opaque trees.
I know. You know, that's a problem. But that's the part that just gets me, like, going crazy. Because
so are you asking that question because...
I would love to have a dock.
Yeah.
But I've always been told that that's not possible.
Okay.
You know, on the salt water. But
it's possible. But, you know, it would help to be Paul Allen, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so got it.
Okay, all right. So you say that. Is it... Can people really get around these things by throwing money at it?
That sounds a little jaded for me to say it quite like that, but the truth is, with if you've got the resources to hire a lawyer and a biologist and a surveyor and a wetlands ecologist or something, you can do it.
Interesting.
The average person on the street, paying their bills and, struggling to save for their kids' college, it's going to be a challenge.
Sure.
Yeah.
Got it.
And they got to pick their battles of where they want to spend their money.
Got it.
So that's salt water. What about fresh water? What about lakefront or riverfront? You know, what issues do we have to face there?
Well, rivers are especially interesting because rivers change course. I just dealt with a property not too long ago on Hood Canal, probably near yours in Mason County.
Mm-hmm.
The boundary was the river. There was a big storm. The river changed its course. Mm-hmm. The way the property lines were surveyed, when the river shifted, the upland property owner, the waterfront property owner, lost their aquatic lands. They didn't have access to it. Because the river changed direction so much, their beach land, their beach, basically became useless.
Hmm.
And the neighbor wasn't cooperating. And we got into a big fight over, what do you do when the boundaries change?
Yeah,
rivers can be huge. Rivers, it's also, salmon habitat,
of course,
this time of year. So you get the, salmon regulations. So, rivers can be challenging, too.
I always get a little nervous when I have a client either wanting to purchase property that's got, a river or creek or any of that kind of thing running through it just because of these kinds of issues. Because they'll always ask me, well, is that mine? And it's like, well, okay, that one might move around quite a bit. And so it just kind of depends. And then they start asking me very specific questions of how they can use it. And I'm just like, you need to go and do a little bit of homework on this because I can't give you those specific details. It starts to get a little out of the reach of just kind of the common agent, I think. Even if you have a lot of experience, we run the risk of making a huge mistake if we try and be like, oh, yeah, unilaterally, you can do this.
That's very risky for a real estate broker to do that.
Yeah, but people ask us questions like that all the time. I've got a different issue going on another property where the gal's asking me to make all these calls for her, and I'm like, I'm not going to do that. That's not my field of expertise. I'm this, not that. So where, like, if somebody was starting to ask those questions of what their rights would be, where would you direct them?
Well, me or one of my assistants? No, actually, there are places to go. You know, I sometimes just go right, get the word from the horse's mouth, go down to the local mm-hmm. government. I will tell you, though, if someone just goes down to the permit counter and says, hey, you know, what can I do with my property? They're probably not going to get the best opinion from just the okay. first person they talk to. There's just a lot of uncertainty in this area.
So there's not a lot of online resources where people can begin to, because, I mean, think about how many other things are online right now. I mean, I'm fascinated from the idea, like, they keep saying that Watson is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and, you know, have all this data available that people can just quickly pull up at their fingertips. Is there not a lot of other information? I mean, like, going back through your class materials, we talked about Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act, you know, things around Puget Sound. Would there not be resources online where we could direct
yeah.
people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, the state regulatory agencies do a pretty good job. Their websites, I think, are pretty good.
Okay.
The Department of Ecology, for example, has a very clear you know, explanation of what the rules are. Mm-hmm. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, you might get tangled up with them. They've got a pretty decent website. Mm-hmm. You can tell. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, that you know, the information on those websites is slanted towards the regulatory direction.
Yeah, as I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But let me say something about you as a real estate broker. You pretty high risk for you to, you know, start giving your clients absolutes.
And that's, you know, why I avoid it.
Yeah, it's really ultimately up to the buyer. I mean, if someone's buying waterfront property, you know, they need to be pretty diligent about what, you know, what the rules are.
Yeah, and they always tell us as agents to be the source of the source. Don't be the source.
Correct.
And that's mm-hmm. why I'm kind of like a big fan of, you know, where can you direct somebody? Because, you know, the thing is, we record all these shows, Mike, and mm-hmm. it helps us that when we're done with the show, we put this back on our blog, and then there's resources attached to everything that we talk about. So I'll be directing part of my staff to actually go and find some of these things and post them. If you actually have links that you could share with us
sure.
after the fact,
I'd
love to be able to get them.
We have blogs on my firm's website.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
And some of this stuff is on there.
Okay. All right. Well, I know we're going to be going to a break here very, very soon. So when we get into our final segment, we might have you bring a couple of those up, and we'll start directing people to those resources. But we'll be back here shortly with more of Open House with Team Reba and Mike Spence.
You're listening to Open House with Team Reba. We'll return in a moment.